There's nothing like being in the stands cheering on your favorite team. GameTime is your hack to unlocking amazing tickets in just a few taps. Plus, their GameTime guarantee means you can trust you'll get 100% authentic tickets at the best price. Fees are always included, so what you see is what you pay. Get the best deals on sports tickets. Download the GameTime app and create an account to start searching for tickets to upcoming games and events. Swipe, tap, ticket, go. GameTime.
This fall, fall in love with Cozy. Nothing says autumn like wrapping up in the rich, warm colors of Minky Couture. From golden ambers to deep burgundy and rustic browns, Minky blankets bring the beauty of the season right into your home. Perfect for crisp evenings, family time, or gifting someone special. Fall in love with Minky and shop your favorite fall colors today at minkycouture.com.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the United Stands. I'm Mark Goldbridge, and this is your latest Manchester United news as the secret bidder for Manchester United is revealed. It is the UAE. What do we know? What does it mean next? We'll delve into all of that. And why is it bad for Sir Jim Ratcliffe and Ineos? Why are they in a very precarious position? We'll talk about that. Also, Mkhitaryan talking about Jose and exposing player power, actually. Lots of people saying good old Mkhitaryan for sitting Jose down. Basically, it just exposes the player power that was at Man United and may well still be there as well. We've got something about Jude Bellingham, Kobbie Mainoo, a few bits to get into there as well. In fact, quite a lot to get into this morning. Surprisingly, for an international break, there's a lot going on. But we're going to start off with the secret bid. It's not a secret anymore. I think yesterday morning, we were obviously reacting to Turki Alashek's tweets about an investor, an exciting investor that he hopes is going to do better than the current owners. We found out during the day it wasn't Saudi. Ben Jacobs was on the 2 o'clock show to say that. And then we found out last evening that this is an investment group from the UAE. I was being mocked last night because I didn't realise that Abu Dhabi was in the UAE. You know, my geography teacher would be gutted with me for that if they weren't dead. But it's like, you know, I actually was right. The reason Abu Dhabi is referred to in relation to Man City and not the UAE is because there's different monarchies and there's different states in there. So there is an opportunity for other investments to come in relation to the UAE and Manchester United. But I think with clarity becomes opportunity. And my stance on this now is that I'll believe it when I see it. I think there's a lot of opportunity here. There is a lot of opportunity and there's certainly reason to be hopeful. And I think we could be heading back to... It's funny, I was doing the England game on That's Football last night and it was a bit of a shit game. We were just chatting about, you know, cheating on your girlfriend. And also, you had to be there to believe it. You know, we weren't condoning it. And... Basically, I said, I can't believe that we could be going back to where we were 2 years ago, actually 3 years ago, where we had that year between the Glazers announcing it in the November and then the following year, December, Christmas Eve, it was Ineos who won. We had a whole year of this back and forth. And it feels like we could be heading back there. And I don't know whether I want to go there. And that's a really weird situation. I do not like the Glazers and I do not like Sir Jim Ratcliffe being in bed with the Glazers. But I also think that at some point we have to like start being a football club. And if we're going to go through another year of negotiations again, what does that do to the football club in that year? Ultimately, we do want a full sale, but I don't want another investor. So I'm sort of like, what is this that's going on? What we've been told, what Ben Jacobs told me last night, what is now being established by people like Chris Wheeler as well, is that this is a consortium from the UAE who will want to buy Man United. I think we can take that step. They will want to buy Man United. I don't think they're going to want to invest. I don't think that really makes a lot of sense in relation to money that comes in from the Middle East anyway. I think they will want to buy it all. And the question will be coming down to whether they've got the $5 billion to do it. And hopefully somebody has, because if you're going to buy Man United, you shouldn't be buying it at a business concern anyway. You should be buying it for the status and the opportunity to take it back to the very, very top. Now, we know that the Glazers will always lock in future value into Manchester United. They'll say things like, Well, it's cheap at 5 billion because in 5 years' time, when they're in the Champions League all the time and they've got a new stadium and, you know, Man United are back on top of football, will be worth 15 billion. And that's true. I think Man United could be worth 10, 15 billion pounds in the next decade. But you've got to act like a football club to get there. You can't do it on projections of what's going to happen over the next 3 years. It's too slow, as we were saying the other night. So if I was looking to buy Man United, I'd probably pay the 5 or 6 billion because I'd be doing it because I want Manchester United and I want to take them back to the top. And I'd also know that with the money I'm going to invest, I probably will make it back in 10 years, but that's not really why I'm doing it anyway. So I hope that somebody does step forward and stop negotiating the price down around a business deal and actually just pay it to get the club. Because that's what needs to happen. We need somebody that wants Manchester United because it's Manchester United. We need somebody that wants Manchester United enough to, you know, free us from this Glazer prison and buy us and make us what we can be. So hopefully somebody somewhere is going to do it. Hopefully there are other people as well. Like, hopefully there are other people with the money going, ooh, look at what they're doing. Let's have a look at doing it. I mean, I just want somebody to take over this football club and run it properly. I just want somebody to run this football club like a football club. So that's more of a projection of what I want. Going back to specifics, do I think this United Arab Emirates consortium is going to get hold of Manchester United? I think there's definitely a desire to get hold of institutions like Manchester United from the Middle East. I think there is definitely that. Obviously, the Saudi league is trying to build a league, whereas the UAE has got a league, but it's not ever going to compete with Saudi. So their best investment is into, you know, abroad, foreign sporting organisations. They'll certainly have the money to do it. That's not the problem. The questions I have too are they going to follow through on this seriously? And are the Glazers open to doing it? All the stuff about the ex-players is irrelevant. I mean, to me, there is no ex-player that has the money to, you know, get involved in this. And ambassadorial roles we already have anyway. Brian Robson, Peter Schmeichel, Louis R, you know, Dennis Irwin. These people are already ambassadors for Manchester United under the current regime. So if a new owner comes in and says it's David Beckham and Rio Ferdinand or whatever, who gives a shit? As long as they're not director of football or CEO, I don't really care. It's who's got the money. That's going to be the main thing. Where I think it gets very interesting, and I was talking to Terry about this morning, because we're both from a banking background. Terry probably a little bit more than me, because I was more like investigation. We were having the conversation, and the people who are most at jeopardy here, if you want to follow this route, is Sir Jim Ratcliffe. Because now that the drag-along rights ended in August, the Glazers are free to negotiate a sale of this football club, and Sir Jim can't do anything about it. And realistically, what have we learned in the last 18 months? That we're in a worse position, but there is stadium plans there. They're ready to go. So in some ways, you could look at it and go, the Glazers have got Sir Jim Ratcliffe to do a lot of groundwork for a potential sale. Maybe the intention was never to build the stadium at all. Maybe it was to prepare it for that. Sacking all these people halves your wages in a certain area and makes you more attractive for a sale. So I think that the interesting point here is what's the relationship between the Glazers and Sir Jim? Is it as solid as oak? And if it isn't, this could be brilliant news for Manchester United fans. I mean, this was one of the reasons I said he shouldn't be getting into bed with the Glazers anyway. You know, they're enemies of the football club and you're getting into bed with the enemy. Now, most people would interpret that as Sir Jim Ratcliffe was seen as a saviour of the club when he was being linked to buying it all. I remember that. And then he got into bed with the Glazers and called them good people. Now, we warned Sir Jim about that, saying if you get into bed with the Glazers, you become an enemy of the club, to some of us. The flip side of that coin is, should he have got into bed with them anyway, can he trust them? So as much as I don't like what he did, it might not benefit him anyway because they might stab him in the back. And it could work out in another way as well. Look, if the Glazers say, we've had enough, we've actually had enough, we want to sell now, he can buy it all as well. So I'd take a full Sir Jim Ratcliffe ownership of Man United over the one that we have at the moment. And I would take a full ownership from somebody else over what we've got at the moment. And if this leads to that, then that to me is a huge positive. But I think before we move on to something else and we get into your comments, I have to be honest and say, I'm still sat there cynically saying, I bet nothing happens. I bet this all falls through. I bet this is just an international break story that will die a death as soon as the football comes back. And I'm on board with that. But then the pragmatic me that has no emotion involved says, well, hold on a minute. You're just saying that because you're fed up of 20 years of the Glazers and you just think it's never going to change. Look at what's happened in the last 24 hours. You have a tweet from somebody very connected who shouldn't do that just to wind people up and hasn't. He's verified it 12 hours later. We now know where the money's coming from, and it's not Saudi and it's not Qatar, as was said. And they are willing to bid for the club. Well, let's see what happens next. Let's see what happens next, because I think in a way now is the perfect time. If you're wanting to buy Man United, to go for it. Now's the perfect time for protests. Now's the perfect time to get games called off. Now is the perfect time to target brands and sponsors of Manchester United. It's the perfect time. But there are no protests. There are no games being called off. And there are no targeting of sponsors. That's fine. But it's still also the perfect time to try and buy the club. Why is it the perfect time to buy the club? Because it's on his arse. The manager's under pressure. The players are under pressure. The ownership's under pressure. We're not in Europe. We're 10th in the league. We've just finished 15th. This is the time where if you come up with a viable option and you make it public that you want the club, I think every Man United fan, not every Man United fan, some people will be opposed to it, but most Man United fans are going to go Glazers out, Ineos out, let the new people buy it. So if there was somebody waiting for the perfect time to make a public play for Manchester United, now's the perfect time to do it. The debt is huge. The club's on its arse. No one likes the Glazers. Now's the time to do it. So what I would say is let's wait and see what happens over the next days and weeks and if this comes to fruition. Because I think if they push it and they push it and they become legitimate, I mean, look, the Qatari bid at no point was visible, really, was it? I mean, people, even Sir Jim Ratcliffe, I think, questioned whether Sheikh Jassim was actually real. I think there's a lot that could be learnt from that. And maybe that's why there's talk of ex-players, because I mean, it'd be very interesting if Rio Ferdinand gets involved, considering he was on the Glazer gravy train in the summer in the States. But, you know, players, ex-players go where the money is as much as players go where the money is. But if you make it visible and you go, this is our, I mean, it might not be a good idea to get Rio involved. That might put people off. But, you know, if you could get Beckham involved or who, you know, class of 92, and you make your bid very visible, I think that in the modern world becomes a big pressure. I think the Red Knights, was it 2011? I think they, in the modern day, probably would have been successful, because with social media and everything, a visible presence would be really, really good. Trigger says, what about Rooney and Beckham? If I had to pick two ex-players to be the face of a takeover, I think right here, right now, Rio to me, very, very good player, but there's too many mess ups. You know, I'm hearing off on my phone on a train station about Qatar tomorrow. He acts like an influencer, not for me. He can't use people. There's certain people you just can't use at the moment. So who I would use, I think Beckham and Rooney would be quite good. Yeah. I'd still, Roy Keane would be very good as well, because he represents something else. Roy Keane would be very good because he represents something else. Like, we know he doesn't get on with Sir Alex, and I think that's a real shame, but he represents Man United in a different way. So I think Roy Keane would be very good, actually. I don't know whether he'd want to do it. Personally, I'd like Gary Neville involved. I'd like Nicky Butt, Paul Scholes. I think all those lot represent what Man United's all about. Ryan Giggs, people like that. I know some people would say that's too controversial, but we're talking about football here and what they've done for the football club. Yeah, definitely. I don't think Cantona. I think Cantona is an absolute legend, but I think we want to be serious. People like Patrice Evra, no. Yeah, Rio, no. But Yeah, I think Roy Keane or the class of 92, they're the people I'd be looking at, really. Yeah. But I don't look, ultimately, we need a visible presence of who this investment group is. And can I just say this as well? I completely and utterly take on board that there are sections of our fan base that do not want Middle East, Saudi, Qatar, UAE money in Man United. I know that. I understand that. I'm not blind to that. Human rights issues, a lot more than that. They do not want it. You have to respect that, whether you agree with it. Freedom of speech. God, I mean, if we've not learned anything in recent times, is that, you know, people are allowed to have an opinion as long as it doesn't become abusive and everything like that. Let them have their opinion, even respect it if you want. But this doesn't have to be the only horse in the race. If the Glazers are still thinking about selling, let's hope that there's somebody else that steps forward as well. As I said, it might be Sir Jim Ratcliffe who tries and buys the whole club. You know, what? Remember what people said about 2026? They were talking out their arse, but in a way it could happen. Not because they knew it was going to happen, but just because of circumstances. So Jim has got the opportunity to put his hand in his pocket. I don't know whether he'd be a good owner or not, but I just think from a pragmatic point of view and taking out my emotional view that the Glazers will be here forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever, when you actually look at it, if I have the United Stand and I need investment and somebody I don't know, I've never met and we've got no relationship with meets me and says, let's do it together, that could work. But I also think we don't know each other. We're not family. Are we going to get every decision that we agree with? And when we don't get those decisions we don't agree with, how do we get on then? You know, who's wearing the trousers or the skirt or the dungarees or whatever? You know, who's wearing what? And I think that was something that people never wanted to speak about, but we did speak about. How do the Glazers and Sir Jim Ratcliffe get on for a long period of time? I think it was always going to lead to cracks in the relationship, of course. Let me just read some of your comments here. I'm struggling at the moment with they've changed the back system of YouTube and I don't like change, as you know, and it's just very, very annoying. Okay. So Jim ain't going anywhere, says Robert McCormack. Yeah, but Robert, that's because you've got pictures of Sir Jim on the wall and a box of tissues next to it. Like, you don't know that for a fact. I sort of agree with you, but you can't just make that statement on a guess. You know, you're not his estranged son or anything like that. He's powerless. If the Glazers decide to sell the club, he's got to find 5 billion, which he couldn't find 2 years ago, or he's gone. But I'd take Sir Jim Ratcliffe owning the whole of the club over the Glazers anyway, because then when he's shit at it, we can say get Sir Jim out as well. Or if he's good at it, everything's better. If it's the time, Mark, why don't the United Stand do what you mentioned? 2 million followers will back you. If it's the time, why don't... Well, I don't know what that means, Neeks. We've all played Football Manager. This will be another board takeover story that never happens, unfortunately, says Rich. I think they plan to get the stadium plans ready and approved. It's like any corporate sale. Strip the asset down and sell it off, says Niall D. I'm sure somebody said that that's what Sir Jim Ratcliffe's very good at as well. Stripping assets down and then selling them off. I mean, I don't know enough about him to know about that. Is it more financially viable for the Glazers to sell? They are hemorrhaging money yearly, says Keel. I think the Glazers used to be in a very good position. They bought something on debt that they never used their own money for, and then they took money out every year, dividends. They haven't had dividends for about 4 or 5 years now, so they're not taking any money out of the club. They took 1.75 billion off Sir Jim for 27%, which is a lot of money to take out. But now it's costing them money. The club is costing them money. There is no Champions League football. There is no Europa League football. There's a stadium that needs to be built. When you've got something that's... Look, if you've got a mate and every Friday night you all go out and that mate somehow every week, even though they've got money, never puts their hand in the pocket. They never pay the bill. They never buy a round of drinks. And then somebody says, next week, there's this big event and you've got to pay for it. Do you think they're turning up to that event? Maybe they are. Maybe they will. Maybe they will. But evidence suggests they've never put their hand in the pocket. Why are they going to turn up and start spending? And I think with the Glazers, that's not a bad pathway to go down. They've never spent a penny on Man United. All the debt is from the bank. The club pays the interest on that debt as it gets bigger and bigger. They've had dividends out of the club And dividends, if people don't know, is if the club makes £100 million, you can take 10, 15 million a year out, which they did. They've never put a penny in themselves. So we're at a point now where you've got to put money in the club. The Glazers' mindset is, we've never put any money in. We just take money out. Why would we put money in? And maybe that's something though, where they'll go, we don't want to put money in. There's no guarantee. Maybe we'll just cash out. So maybe that's how they're thinking. Since the last sale, I was always hoping for a full sale. If UAE Group wants United, I see it as the best option to rebuild the stadium and clear the debts, says Kyle. Justin says, UAE, please fly me out and I'll show the great side of the UAE like Thogden, says Justin Law. Oil me up, Mark. We need this, says MMA Takedown. Honestly, I think it can only happen if it's the Glazers' stake only being sold. If it can only be a full sale or nothing, I just can't see it happening, says Glenn C. Wasn't there a clause when Ineos bought a partial share that it could be reviewed after 18 months, says Patrick. Am I remembering correctly? Either way, it's a really strange story to be coming out, and why now? Big up Hatton today, says Garfield. Yeah, it's the funeral of Ricky Hatton today. So, thank you very much for reminding us all of that. Garfield. Just to go back to Patrick Lynch, there is a clause whereby they call it the drag along rights. Basically what it means is after 18 months, and we've had it now, the Glazers are able to initiate sale proceedings without Sir Jim's go ahead. So basically the Glazers can speak to the UAE and negotiate a sale of their shares. And they are the majority shareholder. And the only way Sir Jim can stop that is by matching the offer, in which case he has first refusal. So, yeah, they can basically sell their share. I think they can sell his as well. I don't know enough about it, but I think they might be able to sell his as well, which sounds a bit unfair to me, but they can definitely sell their own. They definitely can sell their own. Neeks was saying you were talking about protests and stuff. Oh, mate, no, I'm not wasting any seconds talking about the United Stand organising protests. It's an absolute waste of time. We won't be talking about that. Sorry, pal. I understand what you mean, but yeah, we're not talking about that. We've spent years talking about that. It's a waste of time. No Champions League this year, fewer games, low commercial bonuses and risk of missing out next season. Are the Glazers actually worried about the drop in revenue, says MUFC Forever? As I said last night, you know, the Glazers may be the biggest enemy of this football club in the Premier League era, but they may not be stupid, and they may look at it like I look at it and you look at it and go, this could get worse. So, you know, if it's going to get worse and you're a business person, if something is worth $5 billion today and it could get worse, let's imagine in 2 years it gets really bad. You've got to sack another manager, replace him, invest in him. You miss out on the Champions League. You're worth $5 billion today. In 18 months, you might be worth $3 billion. I know that sounds a lot, but let's just say $4 billion or $4.5 billion. That's more conceivable. And you've still got to build the stadium because the stadium's getting older by the minute. So maybe they look at it and go, look, now is the time to take it because in 2 years' time, we still have to find a load of money. And look, what I'm trying to say is it might be the perfect time to do it. I don't have any faith in Sir Jim Ratcliffe's slowly plan. I don't have any faith that we're going to be in Europe next year. And that, you know, that's just an honest prediction. I think even when you look long term, let's look short term. I look at our next four Premier League games and I don't see us winning three. So I don't think things are going to get better. And if the Glazers have figured that out and they can get $5 billion now, in a year's time, if we're back where we are now, not in Europe, and we're still playing shit under another manager, are we worth $5 billion? No. Do we need to build a stadium? Even more so. We're even more desperate to do that. So if you sell in a year, you might only get $4.5 billion. If you sell in 2 years, you might only get $4 billion. So now's the time to do it. It is the time to do it. They're not the right owners and now is the time to sell, but it's whether they can figure that out because they've probably got Sir Jim going, at the end of the day, we'll be fine. And I don't agree, but let's see. Roy Law says, use or UAE or Ratcliffe, you would pick. I'd go UAE. Oh, I knew someone was going to ask me this. Look, if the UAE consortium is going to buy all of the club and build the stadium and it's them or the Glazers, it has to be the UAE, in my opinion. It has to be. I mean, I'll run a poll on it. I'm not blind to the reasons why it's not a good thing as well. But actually, I'm going to run a poll, UAE or Sir Jim, outright. So there we go. Let's take the Glazers out of the equation. Sir Jim or UAE? Do that one. 2 million United Stand subscribers, 2,500 each equals 5 billion. Come on, we can do it. It doesn't work like that, Gavin, either. Clell says, I sent you an email to the soccer box worth looking at, mate. Genuinely, this is private. Okay, I'll take a look at that a bit later, mate. Thank you very much. And if we have a new stadium, says Stuart, we should reduce the capacity of Old Trafford for the women and youth to play. There we go. Thank you very much for that. Okay, let's move it along a little bit because there is some other news coming in this morning and we can always go back to that sort of stuff. No problem at all. Certainly, just before I move on, though, I do agree with Robert McCormack that Sir Jim Radcliffe will be the biggest loser in this. I think Sir Jim Radcliffe this morning and yesterday will be making a few phone calls going, what's going on? What's going on? He might even be on a flight to America. He'll be going like, what's going on here? You know, I've done a lot of work here. What's going on? And he'll be looking for reassurances. And those reassurances could come very, very quickly. I still think that the likes of David Ornstein, etc., haven't really said very much about what's going on at Manchester United at the moment. And all it's going to take is one statement from David Ornstein or somebody, you know, fed out by the club to say the Glazers have no intention of selling and are committed to a long-term relationship with Jim Radcliffe. And then it's over. And, you know, that could well be coming at any point. So, you know, and I think we're all expecting that. So let's just be real to that, because Sir Jim Radcliffe will be desperately looking for those reassurances at the moment, having, you know, been involved in all the work that he has. Let me bring some different stories this morning as well. I was just looking at this. Highest paid players in the Premier League in 2025. Apparently, Erling Haaland is on 525 grand a week. Mo Salah's on 400 grand a week. Casemiro is third on 350 grand a week. Bruno Fernandes is sixth with Marcus Rashford on 300 grand a week. So we have three players in the top 20 paid players in the Premier League. It's weird because they haven't got Mason Mount on there, and he's meant to be on 250 grand a week, which would put him joint 13th with Ruben Diaz, but still paying some very, very, very silly wages. It's funny though, in a year's time, we might not have a player in the top 20. If Casemiro's gone, which I think he will be, if Rashford's gone, which I hope he will be, and if Bruno goes, which I hope he will be as well, then we wouldn't have one player in the top 20. And I pose that question because, look, you might not like the fact that Casemiro and Bruno and Rashford are in there in relation to their performance, but I do think Man United actually should have players in the top 20 paid Premier League players. And I raise this point purposely. It's nothing to be proud of, not having any players in the top 20. I think you get what you pay for. Unfortunately, we've paid a lot for not good enough. So it worries me a little bit that we don't have, you know, good players in the top 20. But, you know, hopefully that's something that potentially new ownership could change. Rajaf says, if you were in UAE's position, how much would you pay? And if you do take over, where would you start? Also, Maguire's new contract is scary, says Rajaf. I have no idea what Man United are worth, but if I had the money, I'd pay it. Because I wouldn't be buying it from a business point of view. If I'm buying Man United, it's like a millionaire going down to, you know, the local Waitrose and going, get what you want. We can afford it. That's the sort of owner we need. I don't need an owner that's, I can't quite afford five. I'll give you 4.5. If they're negotiating around there, they're not the right people. Like, the people who need to buy Man United are the people that are buying Man United because they want it and they want to make it great again. Buying it's the first step. You've then got to pump a load more money in anyway. So if they're struggling to get to 5 billion, they're not going to be the right people anyway. So I can't give you a price I'd pay for pay for Man United, Rajaf, because I think it's the people who need to buy Man United are people that aren't worried about that sort of thing. It's got to be a status symbol. It's got to be, I bought one of the biggest sporting institutions in the world and I'm going to take it back to the top. And I'm surprised there's not a massive queue of people looking to do that. There's some very, very rich people on this planet, and some things are not about business. So, you know, if I was one of those rich people on the planet who love football, I would look at Man United and go, this is the project. You know, you might want to buy Real Madrid or Barcelona, but what's the project? They're already winning La Liga. They're winning the Champions League. You know, they've got great players. Man United's the project. Manchester United is in the same global conversation as Real Madrid, Bayern Munich, Liverpool and Barcelona, but it's the only one that's on its arse. If I was a billionaire who loved football, I'd be looking at it and going, that's the project. That's the project I want. I want to take Man United back to the top and I want to be the person that does it. And it surprises me that nobody stepped forward to do that. Because it's, you know, I've spoken to Liverpool fans and Arsenal fans about this over the years. And they, you know, they have said that's my biggest fear is that United are just such a big club. At some point, somebody's going to go, there's the money. You know, you look at the Saudi investment into Newcastle. I know it was timing, etc., but Man United would have been perfect for them. Like, they've gone to Newcastle, they've done well at Newcastle, but they can't get all the money in because Newcastle don't have the revenues. Man United, whether you like the Saudi thing or not, would have been perfect for them. So at some point, I just think that we've probably been unlucky that we haven't had it yet because somebody at some point is going to do it, surely. It's not about the money. They'll have the money. It's about the project. It's about the, you know, some people call it sports washing, whatever. But it's the status of rebuilding Man United and being the consortium or brand that does it is huge. You're only going to get positivity from it. You're only going to get positivity from it. Which is why Ineos have been such a shame, really. You know, Ineos is, we talk about Ineos and it's a brand. But what have they come in to do at Man United? They've not pumped money in. They've not made things better. They've sacked people. They've got into bed with the Glazers. Ineos have damaged their brand with Manchester United. People see an Ineos Grenadier driving down the motorway and they boo it. So that's the flip side of what you can do if you approach it the wrong way. Jim, political morals are also bad, so it's easy. UAE, says Zomla. After what I've seen from Ineos, even my grandma would be a better owner of United. Standards, we can't be the new Nice, says Gook. All United subscribers only need to put in £2,272 to come up with £5 billion, says Jay. Yeah, but what would we do then? We bought the club, and then what do we do? We'd be worse than bloody the Glazers because we'd have no money. How funny it would be if the Glazers betray Sir Jim like that after getting into bed with them. Karma exists, as it seems, says Tony. And if the Glazers wanted to stay long-term with Jim, they would not have a clause to go after 18 months, as Andrew Staunton. Look, I'm like this. I'm fingers crossed and I'm hoping that this story becomes something because it changes all our lives. It does. Maybe not all positively, but it changes our lives if we can get back on track to that thing we were talking about 2.5 years ago, reset. I remember the conversations. I thought they were over. Maybe they are over, but they're not over this morning. I remember the whole guitar Sir Jim thing, and it used to get very, very tasty. But ultimately, I also remember what I used to say, whoever it is, Sir Jim Radcliffe or Sheikh Jassim, it can't be getting to bed with the Glazers, which is what's happened. And it also needs to be remove the debt, rebuild the club, hard reset. And we didn't get that either. So we lost. We didn't get what we wanted. But I still sit here occasionally and say, the only way back for Man United is a hard reset. And the hard reset is debt gone, money pours in, clear out the shit and go again, you know? Is it legally possible for UAE or any other majority shareholder to replace the Glazers and Ineos remain on 30%? That's my biggest question, says Glincy. I think this is a great question. Let's play it back. If somebody invests into the club, they don't even have to have shares in the club, which would be the worst case scenario. But if somebody invests into the club like this consortium, I think long term, we'd be very instable because you'd have Sir Jim, Ineos. There are still shareholders anyway of Man United that never get spoken about. They're silent shareholders because Sir Jim's got 27%. The Glazers have 51%. Which means they only account for 78%. So 22% is owned by other shareholders who just don't get involved. If an investor came in and took 20% and it was the UAE consortium who want to be involved, I think okay, that might last for 12 months, but I guarantee you in 12 months, there'll be, you know, we want more, we want more. So yeah, I think you could end up with a situation where Ineos are still here or the Glazers are still here, but I think it would be the beginning of the end. Let's see. Let's wait and see. The Glazers have been clearly advised to sell. Mid-2026 onwards has high odds of a US recession called by JP Morgan and Goldman Sachs. The big players move first and start hoarding capital, says Nick P. And Jim's political... Okay, we've done that. Just in relation to the poll, by the way, this will be quite interesting for you to take away today. The poll this morning is UAE or Sir Jim Ratcliffe as full owner of Man United. 89% of you go with UAE and 11% go with Sir Jim. I'd like to hear from some of the Sir Jim backers on why. That would be very, very interesting, I think, this morning. I would actually be genuinely interested. Let's move on with some other news as well. This was sort of last night, but I didn't have a chance to bring it in. Manchester United are keeping close tabs on the situation of midfielder Jude Bellingham at Dortmund. Despite only signing in the summer, the 20-year-old is now weighing up his options following a heated exchanges with manager and dressing room issues with his father. I know that the way the Bellinghams have been handled and managed by their dad is admired in the world of football. But the question mark for me about Jude Bellingham is, you know, I think there's a bit of unhappy, you know, obviously we do the Bundesliga on That's Football, so I'm fully aware of these stories. There is unhappiness at game time at Dortmund from Bellingham and his entourage. Dortmund are having a very good season. They're not top of the league, but they're having a very good season. So I just think that, like, we're going to talk about player power and Mkhitaryan and Mourinho in a minute in relation to Manchester United. There's a tremendous way to manage your kid's career as an agent or as a father or anything like that. But ultimately, the club must always come first. And I don't think it lands well with any fan when you're hearing stories about a player not being happy because he's not playing, but the team's doing well. This would not fit with what Manchester United is meant to be. And I accept that there are players out there that think they're bigger than the club they play for, but we can't have that at Manchester United. So that would be a big red flag to me. I don't think we should be looking at players that are looking to leave a club they've only just signed for because they're not happy about game time. Because no matter how you dress that up, that's a player that thinks they're better than the club that they're at. And we have to avoid these sort of things. Now, Jude Bellingham might end up being better than Jude. I don't know. I've never really watched much of him play. He's one player that I would say, I don't know how good he is. Is it because of his brother, or is he actually better than his brother, or is he going to be as good as his brother? I mean, Jude Bellingham's a bloody brilliant player, but I don't think this is the right move for Manchester United. I don't. I think we've got to avoid any potential red flags. I mentioned it about Baleba. You know, if Baleba doesn't start playing well soon, I'm very worried about his, you know, whole form dropping off a cliff because he didn't get a move to Manchester United. So, yeah, look, Man United have been linked to Jude Bellingham when he was at Sunderland. We'll probably get linked to him now. But there are better players out there who just who do their job. Like Roy Keane says, just do your job. Adam Wharton, Elliot Anderson, Angelo Stiller. These are players that probably excite me more at the moment in relation to midfield options for United. And I'm not saying that we won't get Bellingham or Baleba. Maybe we'll get both. But I think United need to be looking at the Cunhas and the Mbeumos of this world and the Sescos, the players that don't really have much noise other than they're good footballers. Because, God, that's what we need at Man United. We just need a set of footballers, really. I want to talk about the Mkhitaryan thing, but Tom Grant says, do we think Sheikh Jassim will show up again, says Tom. Well, I don't want to dwell on that too much, Tom, but at the end of the day, this is what I'm trying to say. If, and this is a big if, I can walk past a house and see it and go, I want to buy that house, right? And I can get in contact with the local estate agent and I can say, you know, has this been on the market? Have you had any contact? No, nothing. Okay. Can you, like, maybe drop a note through the door and say someone's interested in buying your house? Happy to do that. Okay. Ring them back up a week later. Anything back? No. If they don't want to sell, I can't buy it. You know, and I can tell everybody in the area I want to buy that house and I can find out who owns it and maybe they drink down the pub and I can say, I want to buy your house. But if they don't want to sell, they don't want to sell. And that's the end of it. So even if this consortium is legit, if the Glazers don't want to sell, we are where we are. They're here forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever. I think now is the time to sell. As I was saying a few minutes ago, things could get a lot worse. They've still got to fund the stadium. Now is the time to sell, in my opinion. But if they do decide they want to sell, it's not as simple as there you go. We're listed on the stock exchange. There's certain things we have to do. At the moment, the offer hasn't gone in and there are no discussions. But the minute they're open to selling, then Sir Jim's got an opportunity to buy it. The UAE consortium obviously wants to buy it. Maybe Qatar comes back in. Why wouldn't they come back in? So it could be that, you know, it opens up a right thing again. And that's what I was saying at the start of the show. I don't know whether I want to go back there. Because imagine we go back to that again, where we were 2.5 years ago, where we have a whole year of negotiations. And then at the end of it, Sir Jim or somebody else has come up with a plan where we can all stay together and I'll give you a couple of billion again. I just don't know whether I can go through that, all that. I don't trust the Glazers. I don't trust their ownership. And I think if somebody, you know, somebody might say, I want to buy the club, and then the Glazers find a little bit more money from somebody to make them stay. I just don't trust it. But you're right, Tom, they could come back in. Right now is the time to get games cancelled, says Jacob. I think if a legitimate public purchaser of this football club comes forward and the fans want them to take over, I agree. I think it should be action stations to force the owners out. And that would be, like you say, everything's on the table. Career mode's back at 5 o'clock today, Connor. I need to set the stream up after this. Bellingham dad is a Leamington legend. Up the brakes, says Somler. Christian says, let's keep Jim because he's going to put the Manchester back into Manchester. Thank you very much, Christian. Okay, right, let me talk to you about this story. I saw this morning and I saw a lot of people defending him, so I want to get your thoughts on this. 8 o'clock show tonight is going to be very good, by the way, because there's just so much stuff I am not going to get in. I'm not going to get into before 11 o'clock. I'm going to run out of time, but it's fine because you can have too much of a good thing. Okay, so look, Henrik Mkhitaryan has done an interview. Normally, you know what? I'm not going to complain because international breaks I enjoy because we get to have shows like Monday night about Bruno and all that sort of stuff. And I had other things lined up, but yet again, things have happened and they've been parked and that's fine. But the funny thing about this Mkhitaryan interview, I think it would have been a show in itself, but it's now 40 minutes into a show and we're going to talk about it. So it just shows you the enormity of the story around the potential bid. Because this would be, I would have called this player power or something like that, because it really just evidences again the problems at Manchester United. And basically, it's madness. It's madness, this is. I had to check it wasn't parody. So basically, Mkhitaryan has said this. Henrik Mkhitaryan confirmed how Jose Mourinho begged him several times to leave Manchester United and refused to speak to him during training sessions. He wrote of Mourinho, I told him you've been criticising me for a year and a half now, ever since I arrived at Man United. Mourinho told me I was shit and I just lost my temper. You are the shit, an enormous one. Jose said, get out of here, I never want to see you again. During training sessions, the coach said nothing to me. He remained at a religious level of silence, but every evening he'd send me a message via WhatsApp. Mickey, leave, please. The situation had become grotesque. I'd reply every time with the same copy and paste response. I will leave if I find the right team. Otherwise, I'll wait for the summer. Towards the middle of January, the text changed slightly. Mickey, please leave. That way I can get Alexis Sanchez. Mino Raiola was working on this exchange with Arsenal, so my response mutated to, I am not leaving just to do you a favour and please stop writing to me. If you want to talk, talk to Mino. I mean, I have seen this all over the news and all over social media. And I'm still looking at it going, this has to be a parody. This has to be a parody. But it's out there. It's out there. Mino Raiola is who Mino is. I mean, it's hilarious. It's absolutely hilarious. But you know what? It is a glimpse into the world that we hold up on a pedestal. Like, they're no different to me and you. They're not. Like Jose Mourinho, the manager of Man United, sending a WhatsApp to a player saying, please leave, and also calling him shit, and then the player saying, you're shit. 100%, 100%, this stuff goes on. They're not politicians. They're not operating in highly educated professional backgrounds like accountancy or law or anything like that. They're footballers. It's a very, very egotistical, passionate, results-driven industry. And a lot of people who are successful in football don't come from academic backgrounds. You know, it's all or nothing. So they do speak to each other like that. And I've done a lot of jobs in my life, and there are certain jobs where you walk into an office every morning and language is very different to working, you know, on a building site or down a pub or whatever like that. And I would say football culture is more akin to working in a pub or down a building site or anything like that. It's just that type of language. It's not professional. So it doesn't surprise me that those exchanges go on. I've seen some people going as if a manager and a player are going to talk like that. But it isn't suit and tie environment. It is very much, you know, camaraderie and results and swearing and stuff. So I wouldn't be surprised if those conversations have took place. We remember the video between Pogba and Mourinho, don't we? Can't remember when Pogba ran on the pitch smiling at Carrington and Jose completely blanked him. So those sort of things would definitely happen. Those sort of conversations would definitely happen. And Mkhitaryan may have elaborated on it for, you know, effect. But the serious thing I take from that is player power. You know, I think Mkhitaryan there is obviously painting Mourinho as the villain. And I think I've seen some people trying to paint Mourinho as the villain, which is quite right, because you're just getting one side of the story. And you've got Mkhitaryan saying that Jose was messaging him every night saying, get out of my club and please go so I can get Alexis Sanchez. And we know Alexis Sanchez was a flop. But it wasn't like Mkhitaryan was a success, and it wasn't like he was a success at Arsenal either. So, you know, at the time, I think everybody wanted Mkhitaryan gone for Alexis Sanchez. So we were all Team Jose at that point. In hindsight, you know it wasn't necessarily a good decision. But what I did take from that, and I've got, you know, I liked Mkhitaryan, and I think we misused him when he came to Man United, like we did Mata and like we did Kagawa and any other number 10 we've brought to the club. We've got a terrible history of buying number 10s and making them work out. In fact, Bruno's probably the only real one. But the point I'm trying to make here is that this is a Armenian international who comes into Manchester United, doesn't work, and then sits there saying, I'm not going. Even though the manager's called him shit, I'm not going. Unless I find a club I want, I'm not going. Speak to me, no, I'm not going. And they're happy to just keep turning up at training, even though they're not talking to the manager, even though they know the manager wants them to go, they will turn up. And that, to me, is what I took away from that. And Mkhitaryan's not the villain either. That's culture. That's the culture at Manchester United that we still have, in my opinion. We've seen it with Romero. We've seen it with Rojo. We've seen it with, you know, multiple players over the years. I'm trying to think of older players that have done it. But this was happening under Jose. You know, we're approaching 10 years of managers wanting players out and players going, I'm not going anywhere. You know, Casemiro now. The club want him out. I'm not going anywhere. I've got a contract. They're right to do that, by the way. That's the kicker. You have a contract and you have a right to sit and stay. But it also exposes the player. Because if I wasn't playing, I'd be looking for a move. If my manager was saying you're shit and I'm not going to pick you, I'd be looking for a move because I want to play. But we've been paying such good wages. These players know that if they look for a move to Everton or Dortmund or whatever, they can't pay the wage. So they go, actually, there's no point in me trying to go. I've come here. I've signed the contract. I'll sit here and wait. They can find a move for me. And we create these monsters in the culture that is Manchester United. And I think Mkhitaryan's not the villain there. Jose's not the villain there. But it's just a glimpse of what's been going on at the club for so long. We buy these players. We give them silly contracts and silly wages. And then the managers realise they're not that good. They want them to go. And they go, There is nowhere for me to go. No one's going to pay me this. I'm not taking a pay cut. You find me a club. And then they just sit there. And then you're stuck with them. And we've still got it going on now. There's four or five players that we have that problem with now. And it's been going on for ages. And it's all about recruitment. It's all about this. It's all about, have they got the right mentality? Have they got the right ability? And are we paying them the right wage? Because if every player, if I was the CEO of Man United, every player we buy, I would scrutinise it with my director of football and the manager and say, why are we buying them? And what if they flop? They won't flop. They're really good. I'll give you a big list of players where we've done that over the last 10 years. What if they flop? If they flop, I'm giving them 250 grand a week for 5 years. And in 6 months, if they flop, I've got 4 years of £1 million a month going out and an unhappy player that causes toxicity. What if they flop? We need to factor this in. And we've never done it. We've never done it. We always just go full steam ahead, pay the club what they want, pay the agent what they want, pay the player what they want, and we don't consider that. And I think that's a massive glimpse from Mkhitaryan into that problem. Player comes in, doesn't work out, can't get rid of them. Imagine if Donald Trump bought the club, says Slazy. He can't. He can't, can he? Can't. Won't be allowed to. But look, interesting times, interesting times. I'll try to insert a little bit of topical stuff in there. But yeah, interesting times. And I think I saw a question a few minutes ago in the chat. And I think that a lot of people were sort of saying, what do you think happens next? My fear is what happens next is that there will just be a comment that comes out very, very soon whereby, you know, The Athletic or David Ornstein or somebody comes out and says, the Glazers aren't looking to sell. They're committed to the long-term relationship with Sir Jim Ratcliffe. And when that happens, I think that probably slams the door on it. What I would want to happen then is that the consortium says, well, we're not deterred by that. They're doing a shit job at this football club. We've got the money. We want to build the stadium. We want to pump money in. We want to make them the biggest club in the world. And we want the fans to get behind our bid. Hostile takeover. That's what I'd like to see. If the Glazers slam the door on this and commit to Sir Jim, I'd still like to see the consortium go public, visible, and get fan groups involved. Whether that be 58, Man United Supporters Trust, they could even ring us up. You know, get the fans behind it. Because I think a hostile takeover is an option. But hopefully, the Glazers see it as the perfect time to sell and they start negotiating. That's what I want to see. But if we don't get a visible, viable, aggressive consortium who want to buy the club, we are where we are. So I think there's a few things that can happen, but even the Glazers closing the door doesn't have to be the end. Get the fans behind it. You know, as I said, the Red Knights sort of did a good job, but didn't get the job done. I think in 2025, they probably would have done with what's available social media wise, you know, fan content, etc. wasn't there then. So you could have a hostile takeover. You could force them out. But I think this is one of the problems the protests and groups like the 58 and everybody have is that they can organise protests, but what are they protesting for? There is no viable alternative. When you think about an election for government every 4 or 5 years, people can get very fed up of a current government, and then there's an alternative that you get behind and you vote for them. We can all protest and say Glazers out, but we need a viable alternative. And if you had one that was willing to, if someone's got the money, they can get Man United. Might take a year, might take 2 years, but they can get it. But you know, they've got to get everybody behind it, and they've got to be very, very visible. Great show. Thanks everyone for watching. Ryan says that Finnish entrepreneur Thomas Ziliakos claims he's planning to approach investors in a bid to purchase Man United. He also states he would be interested in working with Sir Jim Ratcliffe and other backers. Honestly, other investors, consortiums, working with Sir Jim Ratcliffe, it won't work. Too many cooks. We need one entity
one reset and move. You know, I don't, you know, Michael Knighton will be out next with a consortium. And the Finnish guy, I think we had an interview with him on the United Stand back in 2023. We need a visible, viable alternative who've got the money, got the plan, and they're ready to go. I mean, ideally, it would be, here we are, here's the money, and this is what we're going to do on day one. We're going to clear the debt, we're going to build the stadium, and we're going to get players in to make this team the best team in the world. Everyone would get behind that. You know, money spent on marketing, money spent on promotion, you know, protests, funding the protests, working with the fans, all this sort of stuff would be the way to do it. Anyway, great show this morning. 90% of you want UAE, 11% of you, sorry, 89% want UAE, 11% want the gym. Great show. Thanks everyone for watching. We're back at 2 o'clock, 8 o'clock show as well. Tonight will be very good because I've had to hold some stuff back. And I'm on my FC26 Man United career mode, which is going very well at 5 o'clock. I don't think it'll go well tonight, though, because I haven't played since Monday and I'm playing on Ultimate. So probably going to get battered. Thanks, everyone, for watching. Great show this morning. Absolutely loved it. Brilliant conversation, as always, with a fantastic community. Stay safe and I'll speak to you all in a bit. Take care.